and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
I am not. I'm Reza.
And welcome to episode 103 of our podcast. If you are a new listener, you're very welcome. With over 40 years of teaching between Reza and I, we'll help you improve your English, grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. In this episode, we're going to help you expand your urban slang vocabulary and also practice more mispronounced words that we practiced last time on episode 94. So if you'd like more pronunciation practice, go to inglespodcast.com/94. Reza, let's go through a list of mispronounced words, commonly mispronounced by Spanish speakers, and perhaps we'll translate them and repeat them. And if you're listening, please repeat the words after us to practice your pronunciation. First word we have, dubbed. Quite difficult. D-U-B-B-E-D. Dubbed.
That's doblado in Spanish, isn't it?
Yeah. For example, the film is dubbed in Spanish. So you hear a Spanish voice. It's a dubbed film.
So it's one syllable. Dubbed.
Dubbed. Next one. Nurse. N-U-R-S-E. Nurse.
That's a medical specialist. Enfermera.
Why is that mispronounced by Spanish speakers?
They say nurse.
Nurse.
They pronounce the E, but the final E is silent.
So the vowel sound is like turn, nurse. Next word, also in the medical profession, surgeon. Surgeon.
Cirujano.
Surgeon. Spelling S-U-R-G-E-O-N. And the first vowel sound is the same as nurse, sir, sir, and jun, surgeon. Another profession, judge, J-U-D-G-E. That's quite difficult for Spanish speakers, isn't it? Because of the vowel sound, judge.
Judge is the person who decides if someone is guilty or not guilty.
So it's also the verb to judge someone. So a judge judges people. Back to medicine now. Patient. P-A-T-I-E-N-T. A patient. In Spanish?
Paciente.
And lively. A lively person. L-I-V-E-L-Y.
So they're full of life. They're animado, animada.
So you could have a lively patient, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And we hope that some of the time, at least, we have lively podcasts for you to enjoy.
And sociable podcasts is our next word. Sociable, S-O-C-I-A-B-L-E, sociable. Would you consider yourself a sociable person?
I think I am, and I think you are too.
Thank you. But one thing we don't have, and that's beards, B-E-A-R-D.
Now, thinking back to our previous episode, perhaps we are not hipsters.
No, we don't have beards.
We're not hip enough to be hipsters.
We don't have beards, barbas, and we don't have moustaches. M-O-U-S-T-A-C-H-E, moustache.
Freddie Mercury had a very big moustache. Would you like to look like Freddie Mercury, Craig?
No, he's dead.
Yeah, I mean, when he was alive?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. No. So moustache is bigote. You sometimes hear that word pronounced with the stress on the first syllable, moustache.
Mm. Yeah, you hear both, don't you? Moustache and moustache. Yeah, both are used.
Next word, chemist, because Spanish people often pronounce chemist with the ch as a ch. So it's C-H-E-M-I-S-T, chemist.
And there are two meanings for that, aren't there?
Yep.
There's químico. Or química, the person who knows about chemicals. Or there is the farmacéutico, farmacéutica, which you could also say as pharmacist, but it's very common to say chemist in British English.
So química can be chemist or chemistry, so it can be the subject as well.
Yeah, química, una química would be a female chemist. And me gusta la química, I like chemistry.
So chemistry is the subject you study at school, like physics.
That's right.
physics and chemistry.
Yeah.
Another profession, butcher. That causes problems sometimes. B-U-T-C-H-E-R, butcher.
The person who sells meat.
And weird, W-E-I-R-D, weird, means strange, unusual.
Raro, extraño, something like that, yeah? If you say, like, that's weird, qué raro.
That's strange. That's weird. What a weird man he is. What a strange person.
And you can turn it into a noun for a weird person by adding O. He's a weirdo. That means he's a weird man.
Do you know any weirdos?
Plenty.
Back to professions. A mechanic. Again, that C-H, that's a hard K sound. So mechanic. M-E-C-H-A-N-I-C. Mechanic, for example, a car mechanic, mechanico. Cough. thank you. Cough. as Razor's doing. C-O-U-G-H. That's a very unusual, very weird spelling. Cough is tos, or the verb toser, so to cough or a cough. Reza has a cough. And headache, dolor de cabeza.
Edache.
No. Let's not mislead the listeners. It's headache. So the C-H-E is K. So H-E-A-D-A-C-H-E, headache. I've got a headache. And a word I think we had recently in a recent podcast, sequía, which in English is drought.
Ooh, that's a hard one to pronounce.
D-R-O-U-G-H-T. The vowel sound is ow, like now or how. And the pronunciation, drought.
The opposite of a flood, which is another one which is mispronounced. People often pronounce it ooh, but it's a flood.
Yeah, we've mentioned this before when we spoke about blood, which is also double O with the same a sound. So flood, inundación, and blood, sangre. And finally, one last one, autostop, which is hitchhiking. In Central and South America, I think they say a dedo. So hitchhiking, H-I-T-C-H-H-I-K-I-N-G. Have you ever been hitchhiking?
Never in my life. And I heard an interesting piece of information about hitchhiking a few days ago. According to my students, hitchhiking is illegal in Spain.
Is it really? I saw somebody hitchhiking yesterday as I was driving back from my parents' place.
Did they look Spanish?
No, they had a rucksack and they were standing at the side of the road. They did not look Spanish. And it's not common for people to stop to give you a lift in this country. I didn't realize it was illegal.
That's what I've heard. I'm not sure. 100%.
So the person is a hitchhiker. Yesterday I saw a hitchhiker. The activity, hitchhiking. Be careful of that H sound. It's not from the throat. It's not here. It's here. So hitchhiking. Reza and I would like to speak about something we like. Italki, our wonderful sponsors. Now, if you're thinking of practicing your English with a personal one-to-one teacher, we would recommend Italki, the website which helps you find a teacher, a native English speaker, and puts you in contact over the internet to practice and improve your speaking and all areas of your English. You can learn at home at a time that is convenient for you, and the lessons are very affordable. Actually, if you would like to try the service and have a free lesson, just go to inglespodcast.com/italki, who are offering our listeners a free lesson, 100 Italki credits, to try their lessons and see if you like the service. So if you want to improve your speaking quickly, get in touch with Italki and start today. Reza and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Okay, Craig, shall we have a look at some urban slang expressions?
Why not? I think we should chillax and look at some urban slang. What's chillax?
It's a mixture of chill and relax.
And what does it mean?
Well, people probably know relax already, and to chill is to keep cool, don't be stressed. So to chill ax is to keep cool and relax.
Chill, man, chillax. Calm down, relax, chillax.
An even more common expression, I'm sure everyone's heard this one, is a selfie. What's a selfie?
That's when you take a picture of yourself with a mobile phone or a mobile device. So you hold it in your hands or with a special stick called a selfie stick and take a picture, usually for social media. But I think people in Spanish would probably, Spanish speakers would use that, I think.
Un selfie. Craig, have you ever freaked out?
Have I ever freaked out? Have I ever been in a heightened emotional state? Yes, I have. A couple of times I freaked out recently when I thought I'd lost my wallet and my car keys. And I realized I hadn't. But for a few minutes, I totally freaked out. I panicked. I did not know what to do. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you freaked out?
It was a similar situation, actually. I thought I'd lost my wallet with everything in it when I was traveling. And I thought, oh, no, this is going to be really, really awkward. But I was sitting on it the whole time.
You were sitting in your pocket? Yeah. It's in your pocket?
Yeah. It was under me. I'd taken it out of my pocket and put it underneath me and was sitting on it and forgot that I was sitting on it. But for a while, I was freaked out. I was very, very concerned and worried.
So it can be a reaction out of fear or anger, but it can also be excitement. It can be a positive thing. If you see Angelina Jolie in the street, you might freak out. It's like, wow, here I am walking along the beach and I see a famous film star. Have you heard the expression crapella? C-R-A-P-E-L-L-A.
No, it's new for me.
It was new for me. It's a person who sings badly when they're listening to music on the bus with earbuds or headphones. So they're listening to music and start singing really badly and out of tune. You could say it's a crapella. That's new to me.
I had never heard it before, but I deduce that it must come from the word crap, colloquial for not very good, mm-hmm. and capella, meaning singing without music.
So exactly.
Crapella, I guess.
So they think they're singing with music, but when you hear them, they're obviously sounds like they're singing without music and really badly. The next one I had heard of, amazeballs.
Yes, I've heard that.
I've never used it myself, but it means something that's amazing or unbelievable. Have you heard? You have heard it?
I have heard it, yeah. The next one is one which I hadn't heard until today. Ask-hole.
Someone who asks a ridiculous, irrelevant question, and they might do it quite regularly. So they're asking something that's completely ridiculous and out of context. You could say they're an ask-hole.
By asking these ridiculous questions, they're being an asshole. So they're an ask-hole.
Exactly. I quite like that.
Me too.
The next one I'd heard of, awesome sauce. Awesome is quite overused, isn't it? It's an American expression for wonderful, fantastic, unbelievable, but it's used so often that it's losing its power. I mean, if something really is awesome, full of awe, then what would you call it? Because Americans would use it for anything. Like, yeah. This is an awesome cup of tea. Well, it's not. It's just a good cup of tea.
So if it's awesome sauce, it's the sauce on top of the awesome. So even more than awesome, is that right?
Yep, exactly. So it's even more than awesome. It's awesome sauce. And sauce will be S-A-U-C-E.
I must admit, salsa. I won't be using that expression. I don't like it. Because as you say, it seems to lose any power because it's such an exaggeration that it seems pointless to use it for me, I must say. I won't be rushing to use it, but people do.
But you don't use awesome either. I've never heard you say, this is awesome.
Very occasionally I might, yeah. But not a lot. But awesome sauce just seems over the top for me.
What adjectives do you use to describe something absolutely fantastic and amazeballs? Exactly.
Fantastic, amazing, brilliant, out of this world, something else, unbelievable. Yeah. Astonishing. I use fairly standard words and expressions, I must say.
So an American speaker wouldn't say brilliant necessarily, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'd say brilliant, definitely. To beer me, that's news to me. If you say beer me, it means please get me a beer.
I hadn't heard that.
No.
That's a new one for me.
Have you heard the word cougar? C-O-U-G-A-R.
I think there aren't many people who haven't heard about cougars. What is a cougar, Craig? I'll let you explain it.
Well, according to my dictionary, a cougar is an older woman who prefers the romantic company of much younger men.
The romantic company?
Yes.
I see.
The romantic company. Company. Is there an equivalent or similar expression for the opposite? Like an older man who prefers a younger woman?
Indeed there is. That older man would be a sugar daddy.
A sugar daddy.
Yeah. Which is an old expression, because the idea of an older man being with a younger woman is not a new idea. It's been common for a very long time. But the idea of the older woman with the younger man wasn't so common years ago, so it's quite a new phenomenon. Thus, the new expression cougar has been invented for it. I'm sure cougar wasn't being used 40, 50 years ago for that meaning.
I remember when I was younger, older women talking about having a toy boy, which would be a younger boyfriend,
but
much younger.
Yeah, so there's an expression for the man, but there was no expression for the woman 40, right. 50 years ago. The idea of calling the woman a cougar is a new idea, but the word toy boy is not new. No, that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. Reza, have you ever been ego surfing?
No, not that I know of.
But you've heard of surfing the internet, surely?
Yes.
Is surfing the internet looking for things? Well, if you're an ego surfer, you use a search engine like Google to look for references about yourself. So you'd write in your name in Google to see what things are being said about you on the internet. So you're ego surfing.
Okay, Craig, then I have a confession to make. I have never ego surfed for my own name, but I have put in inglespodcast.com just to see where we were on Google. Have you not tried it?
No, where are we?
Oh, nearly always at the top.
Really?
If you put in like Ingles podcast or podcast in Ingles or something like that in Google, we generally come up on top.
And we also appear in iTunes if you search for Ingles. So we haven't asked for any reviews for a while. If you do have a spare 2 minutes, we would appreciate a quick review on iTunes, because that would help us to become more available on iTunes for other people to find us. That would be wonderful if you could spread some iTunes love for us. What's an F-bomb?
Well, Craig, I'm not going to drop one here because
family friendly.
Exactly. I don't want to get us in trouble with iTunes, who you just mentioned. If I dropped the F-bomb, iTunes might then take us off their list, no?
Yeah. So the four-letter F word is a very strong swear word in English. So if you drop an F-bomb, as Reza said, then you use that word in an inappropriate setting, in a bad way. So we won't be dropping any F-bombs on this podcast. Have you heard the word fanboy or fangirl?
No, that's new to me.
An Apple fanboy or an Apple fangirl, for example, a person who loves products by Apple, for example. So a person who is very, very enthusiastic, maybe overly enthusiastic about a particular product, company, or person. Are you a fanboy of anything in particular?
Definitely not.
What about los tres, ¿cómo se llaman?
Trio de los tres paraguayos. I do look, if any of our South American listeners, particularly anybody from Paraguay is listening, I am a huge fan of Trio de los Paraguayos, but I wouldn't call myself a fanboy. I'm not kind of obsessed with them.
You don't wear the t-shirt?
No, but I do like them.
A foodie. F-O-O-D-I-E is someone who enjoys food for pleasure. You know, someone who loves going to restaurants and tasting different food. And
you're talking my language now.
Do you think you're a foodie?
I don't know if I am a foodie, but I understand foodies.
Do you read blogs about food and reviews of restaurants?
No, occasionally, yeah. From time to time, I do read restaurant reviews. And if there are special offers, I've signed up to a few web pages that send me information about special culinary offers from time to time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This expression I like. We spoke recently about genetically modified processed food that isn't natural, it isn't found in nature. You could call that Frankenfood. Obviously yeah. from Frankenstein. So Frankenfood, genetically modified processed food.
I had heard that before, yeah. I try to avoid that type of food if possible myself.
Yeah, don't go near Frankenfood. Have you heard of Froyo?
No, but I could guess it instantly as frozen yogurt.
Yep, frozen yogurt, Froyo.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Chillax with some Froyo, man. What's a man cave?
Oh, now that I'm not sure.
I've heard of that a few times. A man cave is a room or a special space for men where a man can go to be alone or with his male friends and do male things. For example, if you love technology, you'd have a special room with your equipment and you'd go there to be away from your family and with your toys.
I see.
That kind of thing.
It sounds similar to a more old-fashioned word, a den.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah,
it's like a den.
That's pretty much the same thing.
The next one, Craig, you wrote it so you can explain it. I want you to deal with that.
Okay, which is it?
You made your bed, now lie in it.
Ooh, that's...
That means you created the situation. It's up to you to deal with it. You explain it. Go ahead. You do the next one.
What's the next one? Oh, ninja sex. Okay. Ninja sex is when, for example, you're at university, you're at college, you have roommates or other people in close proximity and you want to have intercourse with your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Social intercourse.
Sexual intercourse.
Sexual intercourse.
So you have to do it very silently. So ninja sex is where there are other people around, so you have to make love very, very quietly.
Because you don't want them to hear you.
You don't want to wake them up.
And do ninja warriors are silent warriors, aren't they?
That's right.
You don't know they're there till it's too late. They've almost killed you.
Yeah, they come in and go out without noticing. What's snail mail? We know what email is. What's snail mail? S-N-A-I-L.
Well, it's very important that you bring this up, I think. Snail mail means paper mail, letters, etc. on paper. Yeah.
So post sent in a traditional way with a stamp.
Well, you say traditional. Depends what your generation is. Maybe for Generation X and the baby boomers. But for the millennials, that's not the traditional way. The traditional way is email.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
A big thing for Spanish people, Spanish speakers, they often make the mistake of saying, because they want to say in Spanish, te mando un mail. Muy bien. But they say in English, I'll send you a mail. No, I'll send you an email.
Mm-hmm.
We don't call it a mail in English. It's an email. Un correo electrónico is an email. If you just say, I like to receive mail from you, I presume until you specify otherwise that you mean paper. Yeah, so un mail is an email in English.
Good point. And obviously snails move very slowly. So the idea is that snail mail sent by post will take a long, long time to arrive, days, where an email is very, very quick. Something I often do when I'm traveling on holiday, because I don't like to travel with a lot of clothes and a big suitcase, is the sniff test.
What's that?
The sniff test, because sniff is this, is where you smell a piece of clothing to see whether it's acceptable and clean enough to wear again the next day. So you've worn a t-shirt. It's the next day. Maybe you sweated a bit, you know, you've been outside, been walking, hiking. You want to check and see if it's clean enough to wear for another day. So you sniff it. It's called a sniff test. Give it a sniff test.
The next word I see in the list we have is sweet. And for me, sweet means with a lot of sugar in it. But I'm guessing it has another meaning.
Yeah, if something's nice, if you like something, you can say sweet, and it's usually with that extra long vowel sound. Like, you know, my friend's just bought a new car. What's it like? Oh, sweet, man. Okay. Really good, really tasty, really nice.
No, I remember, yeah, I have heard that used before.
And finally, we have an abbreviation, YOLO. Y-O-L-O, YOLO. For example, you do something silly, irresponsible, you run across the road, or you do an adventure sport, or you you do something exceptional that you wouldn't normally do, it means you only live once. So you only live once, take the first letter, YOLO, means like carpe diem, seize the day, do it because we only have one life.
Like learn English through podcasts. Don't wait, don't put it off. If you know friends who are waiting, they're not sure, convince them to give us a go. You only live once. They got nothing to lose. It's free. Persuade them to try us out.
So come on, chillax, YOLO. Go and grab yourself some froyo and do a quick sniff test if you're a fanboy. Make sure you don't have any frankenfood. Send us a snail mail or an email. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at craig@inglespodcast.com to me, or
to me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
Of course, we do prefer spoken messages, so please practice your English and send us a voicemail. You can do that at speakpipe.com. That's speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. And on next week's episode, we're going to speak about things to do in London, because hopefully Reza and I will be visiting London for the Podcast Awards this year in June, and we'd like to speak about the top 10 places to visit, where to stay in London, how to move about the city, maybe some places to eat, etc. So we'll be speaking about that next episode. If you go to London, what should you be doing, what should you be seeing, and how to move around the city. So join us next week. Thank you for listening. Until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.